Welcome to the House of Manna. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We pray that it's a blessing to you. We thank you that you are tuning in to the message this week from the House of Manna. As Pastor Marty begins to minister to you in this message, let it be a blessing unto your spirit and to your soul. God bless you. Hope you enjoy. We have to change our oil. How many of you have a vehicle that you drive in and it has an indicator when it's time to change your oil? Huh? When it comes on, it says time to change your oil. Well, how about the other indicator that says oil life and it gives you a percentage? Do y'all have that one? Or one of those vehicles that you have to get the dipstick to make sure. We're going to cover it all. You got to pull the dipstick out to see. And I'm not calling you names. That's what that thing is called. You pull it out just to see how the oil is. But, you know, you can check the level of the oil, but the other thing you have to check to see if it's old. You got to check and see if it's old. What if it's really, really black? So what makes the oil go black?
Her?
Grease? Dirt? Grime? Heat? Okay, so y'all understand what I'm talking about, the oil? How many of y'all cook in here? Raise your hand. Okay. Cook. I want to see. Keep your hands up. Come on. Y'all cook? Okay. Have you ever put the oil in a pan on the stove and forgot that you had it on already? And then the oil begins to burn? And you're doing other things. You're cutting onions, cutting tomatoes, breaking up, you know, chips for making chilaquiles or something. You know, you're just cutting it up. But then you start smelling something. What's that smell? The oil is burning. Now, the reason why the oil begins to burn is because it was left unattended. But when you add some things to the oil, sometimes what it does, it adds the ability to be stretched. It's called the additives. Okay? But what I want to talk to you today is about the oil and the ingredients in the oil, what we need in our life. But we've got to change the oil. Change the oil. Change the oil. I mean, you know that you got a plug that you got to change the oil. We're going to change the oil, right? Look to your neighbor and say, we're going to change our oil. Change our oil. Now look to the other neighbor and say, how's your oil? How's your oil? How's your oil? How's your oil? Now, what's this? I remember being at my grandmother's house and she had this tub. It wasn't a bottle, it was a tub. And she would get this big old spoon. And it was something that was white. Scoop right in it. And I look, Mama, what are you doing? And she put it in this skillet. Psh. I said, oh, something good's about to happen. Something good's about to happen. But I said, what is that? That's not oil. What is that? And she says, that's lard. Y'all know what lard is? It's the manteca. You don't know what manteca is. Y'all don't know what real cooking is. We're just making some eggs. Got a big old scoop of lard. You can't even get near it because it starts popping everywhere. Right? Have you ever been around that? It's just, and you get around it and you're getting ready to put the eggs in. Or something. Oil can burn you if you have too much heat on the oil. If some of you say, well, I don't have anointing oil. Well, I'm going to help you. You have olive oil at home? You get the olive oil, put it in a separate container, lift it up before the Lord, sanctify it. Sanctification means it's being separated from for the use for the kingdom of God, to be separate from. And say, God, I'm not using this for cooking. I'm using this for the work of the kingdom. To be holy for the work of the kingdom. And I declare that this oil be holy for your works. That when I apply it upon the doorpost, be like that, I applying the blood to the doorpost. Symbolic of what I place this on becomes holy. Amen? And then what happens is that olive oil is no longer olive oil that you're going to put on your salad, okay? or are you going to put for, you know, marinating your steaks for later? You put on ribs first and you just let it marinate. Just kind of just rub it in there. Just rub it in there. And then you put the seasoning on there. What the oil does is take the seasoning and applies it directly into the meat. And then it's easier for the seasonings to go through the meat. So you're like, really, Pastor? Really? Yes, try it. And when you try it, call me. So the oil that you've just sanctified for the use for the kingdom is no longer going to be used for cooking. It's going to be used for the kingdom. Amen. So that's how we sanctify just the regular oil. Now, in Scripture, the Scripture is different, gives specific instructions of what the oil is for. If you would turn to your Bibles in Exodus 30, verse 22. And when you're there, say amen. Exodus 30, verse 22. And we're going to read from Exodus 30, 22 down to 30. All right, I'm going to begin reading here. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels, of fragrant cinnamon, and 250 shekels of fragrant cane, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be mostly holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Read it with me now in verse 29. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whatsoever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. Well, Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it prepares our hearts to receive, but I thank you that it is the very substance that makes us who we are. It is your word, which is you, God. You come in word form, and you also come manifest in the physical form and in the spirit, Lord. So we thank you that you are the triune God. You can be the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that your word is penetrating into our very marrow of our bones, Lord. And I thank you that it's beginning to equip us for the very work for the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just thank you in advance for what you're doing as you prepare their hearts and their spirit to receive. Now, Lord, I thank you that their soul lines up with their spirit in you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see there in verse 29, you shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. I want to dispel this myth and this wrong teaching that goes out there. When you get around unholy people, you're going to get dirty. I don't know about you. I may walk into Rudy's barbecue and get a little of that smoke on me from that wood. I may walk into a place like Subway and come out smelling like Subway. I may walk into another place that whatever it smells like in there is going to get on me. Have you ever been there? Some of y'all are like, okay, why are you talking about food so much? Because I'm hungry. Or how about this one? How about, have you ever walked, oh Lord. Have you ever walked by a, let's just put it this way because I don't want to offend anybody in here. When you walk by the hookah place next door, and they have the door open, and everybody has the hookah and the e-cigs and everything, but you can smell it, right? Have you walked right by that smoke as they're smoking it, and then you walk by, and it's on you? So you get home. Where you been? I was just at church. No, you weren't. You smell like smoke. You know how we get accused of things? No? Never? Not all the time. But that kind of things will get on you, but it's not on your spirit. It's not on the person. It's on the articles. But your articles weren't holy. Now, for the things of the kingdom of God that have become separated and used for the kingdom that are holy, let something that is unclean come and touch the article. The person that is unclean is about to become holy. You're not going to come dirty. You're not going to get tainted, as everybody says. Oh, I don't want no spirit jumping on me. Well, it's in you. It ain't going to jump on you. It's in you. You're so scary. You don't want to get near anybody that's not saved because you're afraid that's going to get on you. That's not scripture. When Jesus walked around and he walked around the demon-possessed people, I don't want to get dirty. I don't want your spirit on me. He didn't do that. Matter of fact, he just spoke to the spirit, get out, and then the person was clothed and in their right mind. Because anything that is holy for the working of the kingdom makes things that are unclean become clean. And everything that you come in contact with somebody that may be a little thrown off a little bit. Let me just kind of change the vernacular a bit to proper English. For anybody that is not walking right with the Lord, then what happens is they begin convicted with the truth that's inside of you. And what happens is they begin to go through the process of healing and understanding. They need that light that's in you. It's not the other way around. You know why people still stay in the bars out there? Strip clubs, crack houses, because nobody wants to go in there and minister to them. Nobody wants to go in there and bring them out because they're afraid they're going to come out with junk on them. We need to understand who we are. And when you understand who we are, there's nothing that can change you unless what's inside of you wants to be changed to them. Oh, they don't want to hear it. No, they don't want to hear it, Dan. Because whatever's inside of you, if it likes what's out there, that's what's getting inside of you to say, come back to me. But if you ain't gone through a real deliverance of letting everything go, you know, the cleansing, you know, you take a shower, you get rid of all the junk that you went through for the day. It's the same thing in your spirit. You got to get God in there to get rid of all the junk that has been in there. So when you walk around someone that, you know, someone that's just a player, you know, the player, we have players in the system. You know that, right? Somebody was like, what's a player? Male or female? Y'all ain't gonna like this one. Pastor, preacher, prophet, evangelist. There's players in the system. And it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Because they're gonna use the game to play you for what they want in return. But if you have the whole spirit of God in you, which you do, when you said yes to the Lord, then what's inside of you is going to begin to convict them. Oh, yeah, I don't want to. You can be sitting there in the front row and have someone that is preaching heresy, trying to get people out the church. But your spirit says there's something wrong with this message. And what your spirit's going to do is begin to convict them. I might as well just put this away because this is not in my notes. We'll stay right here. We have too many people playing the role of a player. Player. Whatever they can manipulate and get, they're going to get. And they're going to use you to get it. If you don't see the fruit of the kingdom of God, then you need to be questioning what is going on and what is the motive behind this very spirit. But you can be sitting there wherever you are. You can be in the very back row. You can be standing up by the front door and feel something that's going on and begin to pray, Lord, move now to bring holiness back to the church. What you just did is you activated your oil. So that the instruments that are being used, even the speakers, can begin to use the holiness of the word, and remove the very flesh that is holding the oil. You understand? We are vessels, are we not? And sometimes we get some things mixed in into the vessel. Do you know that? Have you ever had a gas can that has been sitting in your garage for a long time, but you had gas in it? When I put the gas in there, it was just from the pump, so it was good. But if you leave it there sitting long enough, it begins to create deposits in there because it hasn't gone through the fuel filter. It just sits there. And the deposits that come become more and more clumpier. You may not see it to your eye, but when you put it into the gas system, you may have some problems with it. Well, it's the same thing with the oil that's in your car. You put it in your car when you first buy a car, or when you get the car and you go through and get an oil change because it's time to do the oil change. But if you don't do it regularly, what's happening is your car's not running smoothly. Y'all know that, right? So when your oil has been in there, you know, like 100,000 miles and you haven't changed it yet, and then you... Y'all haven't done that one? Because when you get a car, you just put gas and go. That's it. That's what I thought. Driving this red van all over the place in high school, thinking just put gas and I'm good. Back in the day, you had $3. You had a quarter of a tank. You're good. $3. $3 don't even get you a dollar now. But I didn't take care of the vehicle and I didn't change it. But I took care of putting a nice stereo in it, equalizer. I even put an alarm in it. Because I want everything to look good. But I wasn't concerned about how it ran good. Because I didn't understand the working mechanisms of the vehicle. I just wanted everything to look good. So it was always polished. Tires always had that white rim, the white wall that goes around. And you just get that steel wool. And some of y'all don't know about that because some of these youth don't even know how to wash a car right. But I'm just saying. We used to get the steel wool and then just go around there like this with that steel wool. Remember, go ahead and make that thing so white. Like, But then they would come up with the spray. It was a bleach white that you displayed on there that even all the letterings that were white would come out real bright and everything. Well, you know, you start to learn how to work some things out. But I remember when there was one of my cousins that he wanted to go out and he didn't really want to work it. So he got some shoe polish for the white and put the shoe polish around the white wall. No, so they put the shoe polish around the white wall to cut corners. Not knowing that it was going to rain that very same day. But everything looked good. But you can always tell when somebody cuts corners. So driving around and they got white all over the tire now because it ran. See, you can always tell when somebody's cutting corners. And they're only concerned about how they look on the outside. What's that? Put a tie on, put a, you know, pocket square. I'm ready for church. Just because you look ready for church doesn't mean you're ready. Or just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're always a Christian. Huh? What you mean? I thought I was a Christian. No, you got to be Christ-like all the time. Not just on church service days or home group days or when we get together for outreach day or when we get together with other Christians. You're Christ-like all the time. That's what the oil represents, to always be separated and Christ-like. But if we only concern about how we look and not how we are on the inside, there's something wrong with the oil that's in there. It's got to be changed. So how do you change the oil, Jeff? Because I'll tell you, I know how, but you can get oil all over the driveway and everything. But you got to remove a plug. Oh, so we all have a plug that we've got to let the old oil go and let God fill us with the new oil. Oh, I heard that one in here. Whoever you are that wants to challenge the theology, listen to this. Jesus went before the Lord constantly. Not my will, your will. Not my oil, your oil. Not my spirit, your spirit. So you've got to be filled up with what the things of God are, not what you want, not what you desire, not what you think has to be right. You have got to go before God. So what we read here is it's not the things that touch you that make you unholy. It's what's inside of you that will make you want to go towards the unholiness. The anointing is precious. Y'all know that, right? The anointing comes easy, doesn't it? We've got three people that look at me. No. The anointing's easy. You just get it, right? It's what? A price. So when I go to Walmart to buy the oil for my car, they don't give it to me free. So when I drive into the Quick Lube and pay the money, it's what I have to pay. It's not free. So there's a price to pay for every time you're going to get anointed. How many times can you be anointed? Yeah, y'all all got that look. I got to say, I'm anointed. Every time you go through a process, there's an increase in the oil. But what's really happening is there's a change of the old. The old begins to be released, and the new has been brought in. But you won't know that it's new unless you check the oil. And so when you're going through the process, you got to check yourself. How many of us get checked by God? Raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. Some, I don't know what's that check. Checks and balance. What is that? No, he's going to check you. He is going to say, hey, hey, Christ-like. Remember me? Christ-like. Not just on Wednesday and Sunday, not Thursday, Friday, but every day of your life, 365. Because what he wants for you to do is be Christ-like so that you can reach others in here. Y'all thought I was going to stay out there. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna go out. We're gonna save the world. You ain't saved anybody in church yet either. Stop it. Okay. We think that everybody we sit next to in church is Christ-like. Some of y'all are like, I don't look. Don't look. You went to the person. You were like, I don't know. I don't know if this is the one, but. We have a tendency to always want to start. I'm not sure about that one. Well, pray for your husband then. You know? I'm not sure if this one really is saved. Pray for your sister. Pray for your mother. And your auntie, pray for your pastor, because he don't know he's, I mean, sometimes you don't know if they're saved. Just sometimes you don't know. But here's the thing, you get checked by the Holy Spirit because he wants to make sure you understand there is something that is requiring you to always pay attention to what you said you were going to do. Not my will, but your will, but just not today. Because this is my Friday today, and I don't need to be under the spotlight today. I just need to be somewhere where there is no light so nobody knows what I'm doing. And we've seen too many people in church that sit in church saying that I love God. And I don't doubt that. God knows whether you love him or not. But when you love someone so much, you respect. You don't disrespect. Greatest scripture that many of us kids get told this, right? It's just, honor your mother and your father, and long life will be added unto you. Right? See, when you read it in my Bible, it says, honor your mother and father so they don't kill you. Long life will be. And so I put on my kids. Josh, honor your mother and father so I don't kill you, and long life will be added to you. But in reality, he says, you got to finish the rest of that, Marty. Okay. Don't provoke your children to anger. It goes both ways. That's what God is saying. He says, don't think you got it all figured out, mom, dad. Just going to let that one sit a little bit. Should I repeat it? I'm going to repeat it. It's all right. Don't think you got it all figured out, mom and dad. Don't think you got it all figured out, children. Because we're old and we don't know. Right? That's what they say. You're old. You don't know what we go through. Twitter is only for the youth, not for you, Pastor. Why are you following me on Twitter and my friends? Because I want to know what's going on. Well, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit knows what he's following you. The Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. So when I saw Twitter and it was a bird, I said, it's the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to follow everybody to know that I got to know what's going on. But here's the thing. Y'all are like, why are we on Twitter now? But listen. Really? She told me Twitter is for young people, not for old. I ain't old. I put this gray here. Add for wisdom. Listen, the oil that is inside of us, is going to be tested with fire. With fire. Now, when you have the oil that is running through a car, it went in nice and gold. Real pretty. You know, it comes out, it gets, oh, it's okay. It's cool. Put some dirty oil on you. It'll stain. Yeah, you'll see that it's dirty. Stain you. And we've had people in church in the kingdom of God operating on old oil for too long, operating on what they've learned years ago, but they're not willing to learn something new now, and they stay stuck. So when the oil gets to that viscosity level that it breaks down, what happens to the vehicle, Jeff? I'm going to Jeff because he's a mechanic. YouTube mechanic, it breaks down. What happens though? What locks up? The valves, the piston, and the engine lock up. So what was running smoothly on clean oil is no longer running smoothly. No longer running smoothly. You're looking at me like, why are you talking to me? I'm just talking. No longer running smoothly because the intensity of the heat is breaking down the oil. So when you go in for the oil change, the first thing they come and tell you, if you go to a place that wants to sell you everything, you know, oh, you need a new air filter. That has nothing to do with my oil. Your tires, you need new tires. That has nothing to do with my oil. Well, we vacuum the inside of your car. That has nothing to do. Thank you. But it has nothing to do with my oil. We topped off the fluids. That has nothing to do with my oil. Then comes the oil. Then they come and show you how dark the oil is. See that? And then they have a little chart to say, it's good if it's in this range. But when it's this dark, you don't take care of your car. So they show you. They show you. You know. Chain. You think, I went in there one time. I took my truck in. They said, well, you don't have to do it at 3,000. You can do it about 6,000 because you have this indicator now that the oil is going to run, you know, longer, last longer. Well, they don't tell you. It depends on how you drive the vehicle that will determine how long it's going to run. Right? Sound good, right? Sound good? So you don't know how you're acting as a Christian, how long that oil is going to last. Because if you're acting like a Christian, always under bitterness, that oil is not lasting you. It's already been burnt. And it's time to get that oil changed. That's good. Yeah, like that. That was good. And you went to spirit on that one. That was good. I'm giving you some examples. I was sitting there having coffee with my wife and we were talking, we were just going back and forth, and we'll kind of bounce ideas off. And I was talking about the oil. Yeah, I need an oil change in the car. You got the indicator light. She was calling the rental van that we have. She goes, the engine light is on because the oil needs to be changed. It says oil needs change. I said, yeah, we all need an oil change. I said, oh, hold on. Are we? See, sometimes God will speak to you in many ways as long as you're listening. So then I started asking God, well, how's my oil? He says, you need a change. I thought I was good. He goes, that's a problem. I'm talking to me. Don't get mad. Oh, has he talked to you that way? He does? I thought we had it special. The anointing is really nothing other than the presence of God in favor. That's what the anointing is. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the furniture and all the utensils. The oil was used for the services for the kingdom. So we read in Exodus 30, 22 through 30, that it is something that is to be used for the kingdom of God. And here's what I want to begin to share with you is the ingredients. Number one, liquid myrrh. Myrrh was used to prepare bodies for burial. Y'all writing, y'all reading, or you sleeping? Myrrh was used to prepare bodies for burial. To get its beautiful sweetness, you had to crush it. Now, hold on. Let's just look at the attributes of just myrrh. Myrrh was used for burial, which is signifying that you're going to go through a dying process. Well, what you said? You're going to go through a dying process of your flesh. And then the myrrh will be applied to the dying process. That oil is going to help the dying process so that you don't smell stinky going through the process. Okay, put it to you this way so you understand better. So when you're going through and you're getting mad at everybody, you're being broken down and you're being broken down not to be bitter, angry, because you're going through a process. So God says, I've got to get this oil on you. But the only way this fragrant of myrrh is going to be applicable to your situation is you got to be broken. I don't want no broken limbs. No, your spirit, your soul and your flesh is going to be broken. How is your spirit going to get broken? How many of you know that when you go on believing God for certain things and it doesn't happen, what happens? Hey. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Don't want to come to church no more because your hope has been deferred. So we'll sit at home. Ain't even the sulking. We click, click. I'm going to have church by watching TV today. Yeah. So I know that I can control the service. If I don't like the message, I could just switch the channel. In your broken process, you got to go through that process and you got to process your way all the way through, because in the brokenness, the myrrh can be applied in your life to cover up the burning process that is causing you to be broken. That's just the myrrh. Just the myrrh. Kind of reminds me when Jesus was born. What did they give Jesus? Frankincense and myrrh. What was that saying? If you really understood from the very beginning, what he's talking about is I am sending you this oil and this frankincense and this myrrh because you are going to go through a dying process and you're going to be carrying that fragrance with you every step of the way already before the brokenness, because you got born into something that with purpose already there. I'm trying to tell you that God has provided everything that you need for your journey. But in that journey, you've got to draw back and say, God, fill me with the fresh oil. And if I'm going through the brokenness process and the burning process, apply the myrrh in my life, because something has to die that is not of you. Are you hearing me? Or are you just like, Pastor, get on. There's some donuts and stuff back there. Just get on with it. We have to die to our own agenda. Our own agenda. Jesus did it when he was in the garden. Not my will, not my agenda, but your agenda, your will. Do you understand that? How many of you prayed that prayer? Raise your hand, please. Raise your hand. Okay. The ones that didn't, pray it. Pray it. Because you don't want to stay stagnant. Because oil that is not activated or stirred becomes stagnant, bitter, acidic. And then you're always going to be very foul to other people. We can't be stagnant. went to the Alazan courts yesterday, and I got stuck behind the train twice. One going and one leaving. Watch this. Both times, I took a video of it, and I was going to try to use Twitter. But I didn't know how to tweet the tweet. So I took the video. But the video that I took on both instances, I realized that each train car was tagged with graffiti. Have y'all seen trains like that? Here's my question. Do you tag a train when it's still or in motion? So when you're still, you'll get tagged by the enemy. But when you're in motion, it's harder for the enemy to tag you. So it's better for you to stay in motion so that you can move on without getting tagged by the enemy. Oh, that's so deep, Pastor. Get deep with that. Get real deep. Well, I will. Listen, I used to live with my grandmother by the train tracks. And we used to run and jump on the train when it was going slow. I'm going to get in your business for a little bit. Just because you're moving, but you ain't moving with purpose. Someone can jump up on your train and tag you with all kinds of things to keep you from moving forward. That doesn't mean because someone unholy is there. Someone's just trying to ride your coattails and it slows you down. But when you get moving and the momentum gets going, it's hard to jump on. Trust me, I know. Got a lot of bruises. Got cut up my jeans a lot, Chris. Try to run and hold on to something because the train began to gain momentum and I couldn't catch it no more. I tried running, but I couldn't catch up to it. When you stay in motion, you're not going to get tagged. But it's when you're stagnant, a label can be put on you. So when you're sitting on your couch, click, click, I'm going to have church today. I'm get my cup of coffee. Mija, you want something to eat? I'll make you something right now. I'm having church. Making breakfast, having church. Okay. Some of y'all are so multitasked that you can. Okay. No problem. No problem. Then the word of the Lord comes. How many of you have watched these programs that are not an hour long, but they're 30 minutes long, so they have bits and pieces? It's been edited. Yeah. To fit your time schedule. You think you're going to get all the meat? Don't take me to no steak restaurant and tell me that I got 30 minutes to eat. That includes the preparation, service, eating, and picking up. Because if I go to a place like that, that is not going to be prepared for me. That's prepared for others. So you sit there. I want to hear a good, feel good message. I don't want to hear about that. Not that one. Well, I don't like the way he preaches because he's always preaching about money. I don't like that one. Just, Lord, you know, I find my finances to be better. How come every station is asking for money? He's answering your prayer. He gives seed to the sower, but you don't want to sow. You don't want to go to church because they're asking for money. Well, don't go to work. Don't go to work. If you don't want to go to work, you ain't going to get paid. But don't be asking for everybody else for money either. Oh, Lord. I done hit a nerve. You know those people that you've been supplying all along? Sons, daughters, grandsons, grandkids, whatever. Parents. You're hindering them. Unless you teach them, walk on your own 2 feet, get a J-O-B, contribute, and do what you got to do. If you don't want to do it, I am not going to be the one is going to hinder you. It's time for you to grow up. And if you don't want to grow up, then you're keeping me down. What is that? Somebody just jumped on your train and wants you to take care of them. I'm just telling you right now, I didn't have a job because God was doing things with me. Oh, Your husband needs to get a job. Remember that, babe? Your husband needs to get a job. He needs to go work. Got to go do something. Go flip burgers. You know how many times I put applications in McDonald's, Whataburgers, Wendy's? You paint me red and put all kinds of ponies. I don't care. Give me a job. When Las Palapas, they said, you're too qualified. You just want to manage the place. No, I want to feed my children. Give me a job. No, we're afraid you're going to leave. Well, people leave all the time. This isn't a career just bussing tables. So the manager didn't like that. I was, okay, I'm bitter. Why? I was stagnant. Needed my oil changed. So then when I realized, yeah, man, I think I put 125, 150 resumes out. And then now you can't even walk in. You have an application. Remember how we used to do back in the day? You have an application. You got to go online. You got to apply online. Okay, this ain't got no job. Ain't got no internet at home. I had to give up my computer so that I could pay a bill, and I got to go online. Do you not see how this doesn't work right? Bitterness came out again, so I didn't get that job either. So went on. The oil has been stagnant. So finally, I just got to the point, I went to every restaurant around my house. May I speak to the manager, please? May I speak to the manager, please? Listen, I have a family. I just need a job wherever you want to put me. I said, here's my resume, but I'm not looking for management. I'm looking for wherever you need me, I will work. Whatever shift you want, I will work. He says, how come you don't want to become management? I said, if you get me in the door, I'll prove myself that I can be a manager. But I just need to get in the door. And you're the one that is going to determine that. Well, you just have a little bit too much... You just have a little bit too much to say. This is what manager told me. I said, hello? I'm just trying to get a job so I can supply for my family. I don't understand what you're saying. Well, you have too much to offer. I'm afraid you're going to leave. How are you afraid I'm going to leave when you haven't even invited me in? You understand that sometimes you go through life, you're like, huh? So that's when the Lord says, I need you to get in my word. I'm going to detox you. And I'm going to change the oil in your tank. I'm going to get all this religious junk that's been put into you out. And I need you to be still. So then when my wife would call, what are you doing? Well, you know what? I'm reading the word. Did you look for a job? I've done everything I can, but I'm reading the word right now. When she come home, dinner was cooked, house clean, laundry clean. Ironed everything. No, I didn't. I didn't iron everything. But I did everything. So when she came home from work, she didn't have to do nothing. She can be the wife. So I was like, God, I don't know what to do. This is different for me. Because I'm changing the oil. You used to be a provider for the family. But I'm changing the oil so you can be the spiritual provider. But I got to let you know that you've been bitter about a lot of things. Remember these conversations they have with God? I had the dogs, my little dogs. And I had this little backyard. And I walked so much in the backyard with my staff that me and the dogs created a track. Remember that, Michael? We're going to walk around because that's where I'll be praying and asking God, what is going on? What is going on? I need to get rid of all this stuff. I'm going to change the oil. He pulled the plug. He pulled the plug on my life that I didn't know what to grab onto. I just had to hold on to him. It wasn't my will no more. I took my vehicle in, my vessel in, to get the oil changed. That's the broken process. Matthew 26 is the story about the alabaster box. An alabaster box, many people think that it's a small little treasure chest, or it's made of precious wood, and actually it's made of stone. Alabaster. It's costly. But the box isn't is the expensive thing. It's what's inside. And so when the woman came to Jesus to get to his feet, signifying it's not about me, it's about you. But the only thing that really aggravated everybody wasn't that she brought the box. Come here, Melissa. I want you to walk to Oscar over there. Is this offending anybody with just her carrying the box? Doesn't matter what you're carrying, it's not going to offend anybody. Get to his feet. Get down on his feet. It's not until the brokenness comes that when the box is broken, that what's inside, that what's been carried all along, that has become very valuable, that now that the people around the box and around her now understand that it's very expensive. The fragrance was released. And when the fragrance is released, sometimes, actually most of the time, the people around get aggravated because of the fragrance. You ever walked into a place when someone put on too much cologne or too much perfume? That doesn't sit right with you? It's not your style? Oh, you start sneezing, your eyes start watering. Okay. You're not going to know the value or the worth until the brokenness comes. And you're not going to know the fragrance until it's crushed. And so what she did is she broke it open and began to anoint the feet of Jesus. So the people around her got irritated. But Jesus knew her worth. And that she would always be talked about to the end of time. Why? Because she went through a process. It wasn't the carrying. It wasn't the storing. It was only when she broke it open that it irritated people. Because then they realized the worth of what it was. People are not going to know your worth until you're broken. And when you're broken, your anointing will increase. And people will know it because they'll be able to sense the anointing in your life. The brokenness is necessary for the oil. Number two, sweet cinnamon. You know me and food. If you don't, you're going to get to know. There's this, you know, when you don't have much, you make do with what you got. Well, I like oatmeal. Growing up, I liked atole. You know what atole is? Cream of wheat, atole. But there's some times that we didn't have that, but we had rice. We're Mexican, we always have rice. So mom would make me some rice with milk, and she would add cinnamon sticks to it. Well, some of you are like, yeah. Ooh, ah. And then what she would top it off with some cinnamon powder. Cinnamon. Remember that? Right? Remember that? Some good stuff. Mm. But when you would eat it, the cinnamon is good for you. Oh, it's real good for you. Some of us put it in the coffee when we're, you know. Cinnamon helps because what it does, it's a healing agent, a healing spice for the body. Well, why is cinnamon, and it says sweet cinnamon for the fragrant oil? Because you need the sweet spice to cover up the dead process. You need the sweet spice to cover up the bitterness of the process that you're in. So these elements are beginning to get merged together. The sweetness, if you would turn to Galatians 5:22, please. Galatians 5:22 through 25. And when you're there, can someone read it for me, please? Galatians 5:22 through 25. Galatians 5:22 through 25. Got it?
By the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence with then accomplishes is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge.
Mm. What this scripture is letting you know is that the fruit of the Spirit will always bring the good things in you out. the fruit of the Spirit. God will anoint you and use you if there's a sweetness about you. That sweetness is Jesus. The only way you're going to get the sweetness of Jesus in you is to know your word and in time of fellowship with Jesus. Amen. That's prayer. That's spending time with Jesus. You can't be a Christian, but if you don't know him, you've got to know him. There was disciples that went out. We casted out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Why did he say that? Because there was no relationship. We've got to have relationship. And when you have relationship, the sweetness of Jesus will come from you, even though you're in the process. We're just talking about oil. I'm not talking about the cinnamon toast, raisin crunch, or anything. I'm talking about the cinnamon that needs to be added, the sweetness to the oil, the sweetness is going to change some things. The next one is calamus. Number three, fragrant cane, calamus. Here's a little tidbit for you. The calamus plant grows in miry soil. To get this plant to smell, you have to beat it. You've got to beat it. I would think that when God makes flowers or any types of herbs and stuff, you should be able to smell it. How many walk by a rosemary bush and just kind of brush by it? Ooh, the oils. I mean, it's a aromatherapy. But there's some things, the only way you're going to know how good it is, if it's beaten. And then that fragrant will come out. So some things that are precious are hidden. They're hidden. But it's not into the brokenness that it'll come out. God's anointing is able to increase in your life the more you pass through the difficulties of life. And God is able to fashion your character. God's anointing is able to increase in your life the more you pass through the difficulties of life. Then God is able to fashion your character. Many of us think because we're so anointed, our character doesn't have to be in check. Your character must be in line like Christ, Christ-like. That's why that scripture says you're going to have forbearance. You're going to have humility, meekness, love, kindness, joy, peace. If you're not displaying those fruits, you're displaying a different fruit. Well, what fruit is it? The opposite of everything was just listed? It's not the Holy Spirit. It's usually you. Something inside of you that is bringing that out. And we've got to make sure that we're fragrant even through the process. And I don't mean fragrant like in a bad way. Fragrant where you're pleasing to others. Number four. Cassia. This is interesting. This spice grows only in elevations above 8,000 feet. Cassia. Above 8,000 feet. Eight is the number of new beginning. Sometimes the things that are growing in your life is to bring about new beginnings in your life. But you're going to go through the process first. You're going to go through a valley experience. But don't make that place your dwelling place. Because that's not where you're to live. You're going to go up to an elevation higher. You've got to get up to the mountaintop to get it. If you desire God's anointing, you've got to look up. You have got to look towards Jesus for that anointing. How do you do that? Prayer. Prayer isn't something you do just for the ribs. Prayer is not what you do just because you're going to bed and you need a nighttime prayer. Prayer is something that you do to speak to God. Fellowship with God. Spend time with God. And that is very important. But what we're seeing across all kinds of denominations in the church is people not taking the time to pray. Because they think that prayer is not making change. How many of you know that prayer changes things? Have you seen prayer work in your life? Have you seen prayer work for someone you've been praying for? Mm-hmm. It's because you're allowing God to work through you. to help you. But he's going to use you in it. So finally, in closing, all these ingredients must be mixed with the olive oil, the hint of oil. In 1 John 2:27, it says this, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and it is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." What he's saying is the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to you everything that you need. For you preachers that are in here, that preach, teach, or go out and evangelize, you may not have all of the things that you need, but in a moment's notice, when you need something from God, everything is available to you because the Holy Spirit will bring it to you so that you can minister to the other person. Maybe you're struggling when you're preaching from a pulpit, or maybe you're struggling when you're preaching just to your friend at school or at work. God will give you the words and give you the oil when it's necessary for it to be given, not to be held back. Many of us have a tendency to put our mind in the mix of it, and that's the water that gets in the way of the oil. It doesn't mix. You got to let the mind of Christ always speak. Always speak. So that he can bring forth what he wants to do. But when you try to mix things that don't mix well, you're just going to get a little frustrated. Not just a little frustrated, a lot of frustrated. Because things won't gel. Because you're mixing in your desire with what God's desire is. For some of you say, well, God gives me the desires of my heart. What he's saying is he put that desire in your heart. Follow that desire. But if you're following after something that you dreamt about and you think that was the Lord, remember, we have dreams that make no sense. I call those the pizza dreams. Eat pizza late at night. What happens? Sometimes all these weird dreams. I had a prophetic dream. I saw all these cyclops come into the church. So one vision, God. One vision, right? That's what you're saying? No, what happens is you have dreams, but you don't understand. We start formulating things in our life based upon what we have a dream, or we hear a word. God will put it in your heart, and you'll know what you need to do. You'll know what you need to do. But you got to follow it out. But the only way we're going to do this is changing our oil. When you go through a process, the process is to make you better, not better. Better. We don't like processes. It's not easy, is it? Not at all. What usually happens is we want to get out of it real fast. Because we don't like it. And then we don't understand why we're in it so long. And there hasn't been any change. Maybe some of the changes aren't because you haven't done the right thing. Maybe it's because you've been doing the right thing. You have a Joseph anointing on you. Favor follows you, but so does persecution. And the persecution that comes your way has always been attacking your character. You're an honest man. I don't know who invited you. You're an honest man. That means well and have been taken advantage of. And the process you're going through is like you're trying to reach for something that is solid so that you can do what God has called you to do. And hear that I've given you the ability not only teach but to help. There's a ministry of help that is within you, sir. Don't be discouraged with the things that you have not yet seen. Be encouraged that you have yet not seen it. Because it will come. I see two generations behind you that has prayed you through, has believed you through, has cried you through. But I do understand that the Spirit of God is saying, I'm going to bring you up out of that pit. And there's going to be some change. There's going to be some change for you. Be encouraged through the process that you're going through. There is a change that is going to take place in your life. And the hand of God will be guiding you through it. But just follow the steps that he's ordered for you. God will delight in it. And in that very place, in the delightment, in the process, you will see your blessing come through. And that blessing, I'm not saying it because you're in a suit or anything, but your blessing is coming in the way of family members rejoining together that have been separated. And a miracle is coming your way. Beloved, your voice carries. Your voice will carry the very thing that God has put in your spirit. And it will come out with an odor of fragrance that God says, if you just release it in the atmosphere. And I heard a son will understand and understand and understand. Let your voice come forth, says the Spirit of God. Because the moment you begin to pray it through and release it in the atmosphere, that fragrance will carry, begin to make some change. There's a young man, I see a young man that is around you. Don't know the age, but a young man that's burdening your heart. If you just release it, beloved, and begin to speak the very thing that you desire for God to do in this young man's life, you will see the very change that is necessary. I think it has something to do with the relationship that he's involved in. And you're worried if he goes that direction, it's not going to be good. Let the hand of God get in there. But you're going to have to speak. Speak. And I don't know if you sing, but I see you in your home. Like you hum. You like music. You like music. And I see you as you're doing things in the home. I see you around the kitchen. And music is always, it's like in your spirit. If I can be silly for a minute, even when you're cooking, you like music. It's around you. Sing, beloved, sing. Sing. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He's given in you a new song in your heart, and it's going to come forth out of you. And as you begin to sing it, even if you're singing it to the birds, you're singing it outside the windows, you're singing it in your home, the atmosphere is going to change. And I say this to the both of you, it's not over, it's just beginning for you. It is just beginning. There's a turn that is taking place for you to do the. I heard that, thank you. There's pastoral all over you. All over you. Devil is a liar. Spirit of this man, and I declare unto him, you are the vessel of the Most High God. Teach my people. It's like I hear him saying, Peter, do you love me? And the season that you have gone through, you say, I like you, God. I just like you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Just like you right now. I don't understand what I'm going through, and I feel like I'm bitter, but I'm not bitter at you, God. I'm just bitter with my situation. I don't understand. There's more in me that I know I have to do, but I can't get to it unless you help me feed my sheep. I ask you again, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, but I only like you. Shepherd my sheep. Love, I'm here to tell you that the people that have been waiting on you to get back into position, it's not to say that you're wayward. It's not to say that you're out. It's just to say that your spirit is going to get in line. But the pastoral is on you. Shepherd my people, says the Spirit of the living God. Greater works you shall do. Huh. If anything was said today, is that your oil of the old has been removed and he's giving you fresh oil right now. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. I will bring the workers around you. I will bring the sons and daughters that will help you. How am I going to do with the vision that you've given me? He says, I will bring the laborers for you. I encourage you, minister of the Most High God, I unlock your very gift of the understanding of revelation knowledge that you seek without fail in that word. And you develop not only a message, a sermon, but you develop a training manual for many. It is in you, sir. And everything that has been locked up because of circumstances, I bind up everything right now in the name of Jesus. You lying spirit, remove your very hands off of this precious man. And I declare unto him to be loose in the very things that God has called him to do. Man of God, I speak to your spirit, man. Arise, arise and come forth. It is your season, it is your hour that I declare unto you victory in the name of Jesus.